This is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, sponsored by Visit Bemidji. Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors covers the lakes, woods, trails, wildlife, and anything else going on outdoors in Paul Bunyan's playground. Hey, we're checking in with Garrett Hagelin once again. He's over in the Pequot Lakes area, fishes that neck of the woods and hunts that neck of the woods as well as we're getting into that season. First of all, Garrett, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Kev. Thanks for having me, and always great to be here.
So before we get rolling, just kind of give us your background again for those who maybe didn't catch you the first time around. How did you get involved in the outdoors, and what is it you do in the outdoors these days?
Yeah, well, it's kind of simple anyway. Grew up fishing with the parents, of course. They had gotten me into it at a very young age, and long story short, went through college, and that's what really ignited my passion for fishing. The college fishing team there launched into a new avenue anyway, or a new level of passion for fishing. I fished many of the collegiate series tournaments there at Bemidji State University, if I might add. And then,
yes, you may.
yeah. And then from there, I've just participated as brand ambassadors and just an ambassador of the sport of fishing in general, working with several companies and partners out there that share the like-minded thoughts as myself and just want to educate folks out there about fishing and the importance of catch and release, or just managing what you bring home and what you don't, and most importantly, having a good time. So today, my career anyways is kind of shifting into that outdoor space a little bit. Euphoric Brands is a company that I have co-founded with some family, and Maluna Coolers is our first product line. It's a very comparable product to like a Yeti or Orca, something like that. But it's our first product line that's tailored to the outdoor industry. Maluna is owned by Euphoric Brands, and that's our game plan, is make good, high-quality products for the outdoor industry. And so I'm lucky to start bringing my professional career into my passion career, if you will, for hunting and fishing, and as well as, participating and helping out the high school fishing teams throughout the summer as a boat captain or just a guest speaker every once in a while, really educating, helping to educate the youth in different areas, as well as anyone else online that I interact with on social platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter a little bit here and there, and LinkedIn. So, educator as well as Euphoric Brands, and that's kind of my entry into the outdoor space, essentially.
My good friends at Bemidji State would be very unhappy with me if I didn't follow up and ask, what was it about Bemidji State that lured you there? Was it the fact that there was fishing and hunting opportunities, or were there other options as well?
Yeah, Bemidji is in just such a great location for so many hunting and fishing opportunities. I did a fair amount of hunting and fishing up there, of course, as you can imagine. Just positioned right on Bemidji State, or right on the Lake Bemidji, I should say, and it was quite funny. I think we made the paper once for using the lake as a parking lot to get to class, so pretty funny. But Bemidji, I just really liked the area. It's only a couple hours from home here. I first originally went there for music. I was a trumpet player until, of course, the outdoors really overtook my time. So, passions and interests and stuff grow in different ways. But I really enjoyed Bemidji. I had visited there a few different times before attending college there. Ultimately, it was my greatest decision of my life, as they say, as I had met my wife there. So very great school, and just really like the area up there.
So with all your outdoor activities, I'm assuming your wife at least tolerates it.
Oh, absolutely. She has her own passion as an equestrian.
Oh, okay.
A few horses at home, and she competes with a couple of them on a state and really a national level, and it's quite exciting. She actually leaves here for a week, just this coming weekend for Texas. I get to stay home this time because, again, it is my most favorite time of the year. Pheasant openers right around the corner, great fall fishing, and I will be sure to be on the next bus to Texas in February because by then I'm about ready for a little bit more warmer weather. So.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's interesting you mentioned that there's so many options this time of year, and we actually have a very, very mild fall, and it looks like it'll be an extended fall, which let's hope it is, because that's, I think, the biggest frustration for a lot of people, especially if they like to be in the woods and the water, is fall is such a short season. How do you get it all in? This fall, we might be able to get it all in.
Yeah, we're lucky this year. As you said, we do have a pretty warm a warm fall, and which opens it up for a bigger window. I had a memory pop up just the other day on social media of a picture at 5 o'clock in the morning on my way to a duck hunt, and it was 23 degrees in the morning. So that was chilly. Definitely much easier to wake up when it's, you know, 55, almost 60 in the morning, and you can go sit in the woods with just a sweatshirt and pants on and not have to be bundled up so much. So, yeah, really looking forward to the warm fall here, the extended window, those fall fishing bites really heating up and the hunting really heating up too.
I just actually talked with Bruce Jean yesterday and discussed, you know, he was up on the gull chain for the Fight to End Hunger tournament and or Fishing to End Hunger tournament, and, you know, we're not even really into the fall bite yet. It's still warmer than the typical fall bite.
Right. You know, we've had a few colder days, a few colder evenings anyways, and some of those fish have been moving a little bit here and there. You know, once certain fish move, they're there for the season, or they're there until, you know, spring comes back around. But our fish haven't really moved a whole lot yet. They're beginning to and really thinking serious about it, and I think they will here probably within the next few weeks. But that fall fishing, that shallow water bite, as many of or much of what our fishing is in the fall, it just hasn't fired off yet. It seems like certain parts of lakes, like bigger chains, such as Leech Lake or Vermilion, some of those lakes might be popping off in different areas, but nonetheless, you know, those fish knows, they know what's coming, and they're starting to put the feed bag on.
What have you seen out on the water? What's been working, and where they've been hanging?
Me personally, so I'm a big bass fisherman. I love my largemouth and smallmouth fishing. Largemouth are starting to put and push and chase those bluegills up in the shallows. I'm finding them in reeds, cane grass, log jams, maybe some shallower cabbage patches or milfoil. Some of that shallow water fishing, it is starting to kick up. I'm not seeing the numbers there yet, but the quality is there. Some of those bigger ones have started to move already. So, you know, as far as baits go, fish this time of year are very aggressive. You can throw dang near anything at them and they'll grab it. But aggressive baits that I like to throw are your crankbaits or jerkbaits, chatterbaits, even a frog all the way through the fall season. They'll definitely still crush that. And different topwater baits too. They're just very aggressive this time of year. It really gets pretty fun. If they seem to have a little bit of a lockjaw, you can go to finesse techniques such as like drop shot or Ned rig, shaky head, different things like that. I like using those techniques for some of the fall smallmouth if they're out still around those deeper boulders. You can find them around those deep boulders that are secluded. It's in deeper water from, you know, 15 to 25, 30 feet of water. You can still find them that deep this time of year. Some of those big ones too are going to be pushing shallow, those big smallmouth pushing bait fish up against those shallow rock reefs and, cruising those flats too, picking up, crawfish, bait fish, anything else that they forage this time of year.
And I'm sure the walleye guys are having some success as well. I've been hearing they've been having success anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not a huge walleye fisherman, but what I do know and the techniques that I use this time of year to pull some of those walleyes is pulling them out of weeds, pulling them out of some of those weed beds, because those walleyes too will cruise those shallower weed lines towards the evening hours or so. But pitching a jig and pulling them out that way is a great technique. Whether it's live bait or plastics, I've had great luck with both. This day and age, there's some really great plastics that can be used that, simply put, catch fish. So that's been great techniques, too. Also, can't forget your bobber fishing, rigging up crawlers or different things. Just a weekend or two ago, I was out on Devil's Lake in North Dakota. Jigging wraps was very popular out there. I certainly donated a few of those to the lake, much more than I would have liked, but it's a very effective choice of bait out there. So sure puts a lot of fish in the boat.
Garrett Hagelin of Garrett Hagelin Outdoors, my guest today. We've been talking fishing. We'll check out the woods next. This is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Beardsley with Dick Beardsley Fishing Guide Service. Are you looking to plan a fishing trip? Look no further, as Bemidji, Minnesota is your year-round destination for walleyes, pike, muskie, bass, perch, crappie, panfish, and more. With over 400 fishing lakes within a 25-mile radius of Bemidji, come take a cast at becoming a fishing legend. While you're on your fishing adventure, come take a picture with the historic Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. Discover the first city on the Mississippi, Bemidji, one step further.
This is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast. Garrett Hagelin of Garrett Hagelin Outdoors and Pequot Lakes, my guest today. Have you been in the woods at all?
I have been in the woods a little bit here and there. Duck opened just not too long ago. Just getting into duck hunting myself over the past couple of years. Had some good success with wood ducks so far. I don't know if you've ever hunted wood ducks or not or seen them in person, but man, they are beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful ducks. Mm. And just definitely a great table fare as well. But the ducks certainly aren't in a hurry to leave yet. It's been plenty warm, still moving here and there. That first, half hour to 45 minutes in the morning at daybreak there is really crucial timing. It's kind of a funny thing. It's like someone flips a light switch and they get up and move all at the same time, and it's about mayhem for a good 45 minutes or so, and then things kind of piddle down from there. Evening hours, the regulations did change this year a little bit for Minnesota, is that we can hunt now into the evening hours. I believe it's a half hour before sunset or up into sunset. It's really, really been nice. Those last 45 minutes or so to sunset is really crucial as well, just as it is in the morning at sunset. So I'm happy about that. Grouse is going. I've heard plenty of them fluttering away and stuff. Even out on the boat, I've seen grouse fly across the lake already, and it's like, man, if I only had a shotgun with me at the same time. Another great table fare bird, very popular in this neck of the woods anyway. Some great game as well.
Well, as I noted, you like pheasant. I think you noted that on your website. That's kind of why I was thinking about you to talk pheasants. It's, like you say, just over a week away. Now, don't know much about pheasant hunting, since there really isn't any up here. But is there in Brainerd, or do you have to go even further?
You know, there's a couple of refuges here in Brainerd that you can go to and visit. They do have some great pheasant hunting. But as far as wild hunting goes, much of that happens in the southern half of the state, really. That's where you get into the prairie grasslands and stuff. It's kind of that southwest piece of the state. Me personally, pheasant hunting, I absolutely enjoy, and I will drive for it, as well as many others. But that does open up on the 16th. Definitely looking forward to that, getting some gear around and things ready for that. When considering going pheasant hunting, I do a lot of research ahead of time. OnX is an app that I use. It's kind of like an avionics app, or it's a mobile app that I use to identify terrains, open walking areas, public lands to hunt. You can mark different areas on there that you've seen birds or perhaps harvested some birds, different areas. It's really a very cool app, but do a fair amount of research on there as well as the Minnesota DNR website. Before you go, of course, make sure that you're prepared. Make sure that you have your license and stamps. Practice safety when you're out in the field, but also know your regulations. So again, as far as Minnesota regulations for 2021 goes, the season opens statewide on the 16th and runs through January 22nd of 2022. The shooting hours are from 9 a.m. to sunset, and the daily limit within that time frame is 2 roosters, or a possession limit of 6 roosters. So make sure you harvest and enjoy them at the same time, and then eventually go back out for more if you'd like. Just a really great bird, to harvest. As far as firearms go, I remember, pheasants cannot be shot with a rifle or a handgun over a .22 caliber rimfire. So using short or long rifle ammunition, and shotguns used with hunting pheasants can hold or may hold more than 3 shells at a time. So that kind of opens up your options there. Duck hunting, you're limited to 3 shells. So if your shotgun can hold more than 3, by all means, go for it. So pheasant hunting, great time of the year. Probably one of my most favorite things about pheasant hunting is just watching the dog work. I have a 2, almost 3-year-old yellow lab, and I've not brought her to any formal training, but I've done some training at home with her, and is very obedient, and just the natural instinct watching her run and work the birds through those cattails or on tall grass and stuff. It's just as exciting to me watching her as it is, capitalizing on a bird, pulling that trigger. So very fun. Great time.
Is there a particular time in the pheasant season that is typically the best time to be out there?
You know, after the harvest, and by the harvest, I mean the crops out west, it's definitely the best time to go find them. It just limits their number of hiding areas. If you go walking through a cornfield and trying to find pheasants, good luck. They will run, and you will not see them. they can run just as fast as they can fly about, but it's the early season is fun. It's exciting. It's generally a little bit warmer. Typically, I like to go once things start getting colder. We have some frost in the ground, and those birds are holding tighter to some of those secluded areas. The harvest is done. So when they're holding tight there to ditches or whatever it might be, having a dog to work those areas back and forth is very, very important. You can walk right past them, dang near, almost step on them, and they will not get up when it's cold. So it's good to have a dog, but typically later in the season is when I like to go.
Where is your favorite area to pheasant hunt?
Again, it's the southwest corner,
yeah,
of the state. There's the western bump of Minnesota, right? That piece of the state that kind of sticks out. There's some good birds down that an area. Otherwise, really, really anywhere in the southwest area, there's just some really great opportunity down there. There's a lot of walk-in areas, public lands, and spaces to hunt. So many times you'll be driving by and see roosters out in a harvested field on private land. And there are times to where, you know, private owners will allow you to go out and hunt on their land. If you do venture in on someone's property and ask for permission, great. Just be mindful and respectful of their property and your time there. That's about it, though. So,
what have you heard as far as population this year? Are the populations healthy as far as you know?
I did read up on that just the other day. It sounds like the population is down about 25%. As far as the numbers of adult birds out there right now, it's still healthy. It's a healthy average number, but perhaps the hatch is down a little bit this year. Perhaps due to the, you know, the extremely dry season and hot season that we had this year. So all in all, it sounded like it was a pretty average population, at least it was down from 2020 anyway. But nonetheless, I'm looking forward to a good season out here.
What are you experiencing population-wise with ducks and grouse so far?
Ducks and grouse seems to be positive as well. The grouse seem to get thicker and thicker each year, and they're now inhabiting my driveway at home. So that's always positive, but it's a great population so far. I haven't read too deeply into the populations for ducks this year, but it sounded like the grouse population was maybe up by 15%. So it seems like things are going pretty well. Again, there's a common path or a common theme to this year's populations, it seems like, and it has to do with the dry season that we had. There's still quite a lot of ducks around, but perhaps maybe moved off a little bit into maybe other areas that maybe have gotten more rain, like Wisconsin. Lucky you guys over in Wisconsin. That dry season maybe has put a hindrance on things. Still great populations to be had and some great hunting to be had, though. So that's kind of the normal or the theme that I've seen.
No bear hunting or archery deer for you, or?
Not myself. It's, again, that difficult challenge of knowing what to do with so many options this time of the year. All great things and things I would love to get into, just haven't found the time. I'm certainly usually afloat somewhere or in the woods chasing birds, all kinds of different things. So I do know that it's been a good year for bow hunting. Those that I've seen have had great success. Some great bucks have hit the ground this year too. A good population of deer in the area. I've seen plenty of bear pictures as well. Some great trophies being taken, as well as a few misses and stories of misses. But that's okay too. We learn and live from that. And nonetheless, it's just great to be out in the outdoors.
Well, Garrett, if people want to keep tabs on what you're up to and your product line, things like that, how can they do that?
Yeah, you can keep tabs on me on social medias. You can find me at Garrett Higwin Outdoors on Facebook and Instagram. You can also check out maluna.com. That's M-A-U-L-U-N-A. Excuse me, M-A-L-U-N-A. I should remember how to spell that. and check out those social platforms as well. I'll be out in the woods quite a bit, out in the fields, and certainly on the water a fair amount yet this year. So certainly looking forward to it, and looking forward to a good early ice season, too. That's right around the corner.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it, but, yeah, it's not going to be that long. That's a fact.
It's Minnesota weather. It can happen.
Yeah. Garrett Hagelin out of the Pequot Lakes area, outstanding outdoorsman from Paul Bunyan Country. Love to have him on the show. Hey, Garrett, thanks for taking the time. We'll check in with you a little bit later on when the weather turns and see what's going on then.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kev. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, sponsored by Visit Bemidji. You can catch the radio show Saturdays on KBUN Sports Radio 104.5 in Bemidji, B93.3 in Brainerd, and KICK FM in Alexandria. And, of course, multiple times a week. We'll have great stuff for you right here on the podcast.
I would say that the listeners of Paul Bunyan Country are the smartest people on earth.
Yeah, baby.